on that note, folks, welcome to another episode of Not Another Film Podcast. This is the podcast where we take movies we used to love as kids and we re-examine them in the harsh, sobering, spooky light of October 2021.
It's so scary out here.
Exactly. I like dating the episode that way, that it's like, once this month is done, none of this is relevant anymore.
Yeah, no, if you listen to this in April, get fucked.
What are you doing? It's some real DCOM heads if they're listening to this in April.
Or they're the people that are portrayed in this movie, which are people who like, their entire personality is Halloween.
That's a big thing, though. Like, I shopped at Hot Topic. I get it. The movie we're doing today, folks, is Halloween Town. My name is Ian. I am one of your co-hosts. I am joined by Lauren Grace Thompson. How are you?
I'm great. I love how you only go by your first name, but you're just completely throwing my identity out there. Do you want to give them my social?
Lauren's address
is the same as your address.
Oh my god, the call is coming from inside the house. It's so spooky! Happy Halloween. Lauren, Halloween Town, Disney Channel, 1998. Paint the picture. Rounders is out. Pleasantville is sweeping the box office.
What a time to be alive.
Shakespeare in Love finally defeats Saving Private Ryan in World War II. The second most embarrassing defeat of World War II.
We did it. We won.
So Halloween Town, talk me through it. What was going on in your brain?
I was 5 years old.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let me just completely give you my age there. Late 20s. Yeah, no, this is another one of those movies that just always existed for me. I don't know that I was ever conscious of a world that didn't include this film.
Yeah.
It is a classic.
Sure.
It was formative.
Yeah.
As a kid who Halloween was my entire personality for a while, and still kind of is, love it.
Well, that's why, I mean,
feel very seen by this film.
You are the heiress of Hot Topic, right? Like, that is your family's lineage.
I cannot discuss it legally.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand. I used to watch this movie all the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
What
if we had just cut to an ad for Hot Topic right there?
Do they have those?
God, I wish. Hot Topic, please sponsor us. I would love that.
Who does the jingle for Hot Topic? Atreyu? Thrice?
Oh.
The
AFI?
Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Just walk in, it's like one of the voices from Invader Zim, and then like a screamo song from a band called like Pushing Indianapolis or something like that.
Yep, and then they just have like random pop culture references in the jingle that you're like, oh, that's right, they sell Doctor Who stuff here?
Yeah, it's a place that like functions in selling novelty flasks, but the median age of the clientele is like 14.
It's so strange. I had so many keychains from Hot Topic.
What?
Like, you know, the ones with the little sayings of like, I'm nothing before my coffee or whatever. It's like, no, but it's that, but it would be like, I wish I could murder you. Like those where it's like, Mondays kill, you know?
Oh my God, that is so dark.
But they had like really cute fonts, so it's okay.
Oh yeah.
That's, I got some for my mom and she still has it on her keychain. Shout out to you, mom.
That's beautiful. I love that.
I know. That's love, is that she's still repping Hot Topic after all this time for me.
You can get pulled over and see that on your keychain and ay, ay, ay.
And they're like, what? And they're like, she's like, I had a emo kid. Like, it's fine.
Have you heard of the Black Parade?
It was pretty much my daughter's identity for like a year and a half.
This movie's the Black Parade, pretty much. It's all ghosts and ghouls and goblins and spirits and sprites.
Oh shit, that would be amazing if the long-awaited Black Parade musical was an adaptation of Halloween Town, but set to My Chemical Romance songs.
Yeah.
I love this.
I feel like there's a YouTube edit somewhere of that.
Oh fuck, it would be great.
Yeah.
It's like the Beetlejuice musical, but with MCR songs. It's,
I mean,
I mean, that's basically where the age that we're living in. I'm shocked it hasn't happened.
I'm also like, this
feels
song,
like the perfect convergence of nostalgia for our generation. That I think that like you would have the perfect convergence of nostalgia and then like genuine and like enjoyment and full like ironic love.
Yeah.
So you could go for so many different reasons. You could hate watch it. You could genuinely enjoy it because MCR, and you could be like, oh, this is such a dumb mashup. Oh, I'm so cool.
But also, you hated Repo the Genetic Opera, and that's pretty much what that was.
Okay, but Repo the Genetic Opera didn't have good songs. If you do an MCR musical, I guarantee you one thing, you're going to have good songs.
Damn.
American Idiot was also a bad musical, but at the end of the day, I'm listening to Green Day songs.
This is why you come to this show. You come to the show for the hot takes on Repo the Genetic Opera and American Idiot the Broadway musical.
It sucks.
Playing at the St. James Theater.
I'll always remember.
Get it? Because St. Jimmy.
Amazing.
That's for all my Green Day heads out there.
I will always remember seeing, side note, always remember seeing American Idiot, because I remember American Idiot on Broadway has like the longest sex scene. Like, it's like an entirety of a song is just thrusting. And I remember going to see that show with my dad, not being prepared, and just like sitting awkwardly in a theater while Green Day, first of all, my dad's at a Green Day show and he's like, I don't know what's happening.
What a cool dad.
Yeah. But my dad's like, that lady was really talented.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Rebecca Naomi Jones, we stand.
Yeah, no, I saw that show too. I remember the exact scene you're talking about where they're having sex and doing heroin set to Last Night on Earth. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's the entirety of Last Night on Earth. It's so uncomfortable. It's longer than like the Spring Awakening scene, which I also saw with my dad.
Maybe your dad... just like, maybe he should pick out the next Broadway show, because you're obviously trying to just be like, I'm a big kid now, I watch sex scenes and musicals.
Yeah, but then my dad is like, do you want to go see a Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? And I'm like, sure, this seems like a good idea. We're the only people in the theater, and it's just like rape scene, and you're like, oh my God.
Do you find nudity in plays like makes you more or less uncomfortable than nudity in film and TV?
When I'm with my dad, absolutely it's more uncomfortable when it's a real person.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely. The specific, I'm not asking like you, Lauren, in terms of like that specific instance.
No, I mean like I am uncomfortable when I see nudity like in person in a show, mainly because I'm just like, it's cold in here. That doesn't seem fun. But yeah, no, specifically like with my dad, I'm just like, no, it's much worse when it's an actual human being that you're just like, oh wow, that's a person.
I guess what's the worst then? Is it nudity on stage, mm-hmm. nudity in a movie,
mm-hmm.
or nudity in a filmed stage performance?
Oh, nudity in a filmed stage performance. There's a level of awkwardness that always exists in filmings of stage shows.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so much worse.
Yeah.
So much worse.
I'm looking at you, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, or you're suddenly looking at a dick and you're like, what's happening?
In the first minutes of the show.
I know.
This is a plug for Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
And then you're watching something like the National Theater Lab's Frankenstein, and suddenly they're like wearing like underwear and you're like, you were naked in the stage show.
Yeah, show that dick.
You know what? Equality. Show that dick.
So Halloween Town was a really big movie for me, I know.
We got back there. Frankenstein segued us back in.
Yeah, because you know, oh, which Frankenstein, that's another segue. Which of these Frankensteins is showing up in Halloween Town? Is it Johnny Lee Miller or is it Benedict Cumberbatch?
I gotta say Johnny Lee Miller would be a better fit for Halloween Town.
He was the better monster.
Yeah.
Creature, excuse me.
Creature, yes. He was great. God, this episode's going really niche really fast.
This is for like six people.
This is for like six people. The National Theater Live did a broadcast of a production of Frankenstein where the two actors switched off. It was Johnny Lee Miller and Benedict Cumberbatch. People have very intense opinions about which one was better in which role.
And guess what? They weren't different enough for your opinions to be that strong.
Johnny Lee Miller is a really talented actor, and I feel like we give Benedict Cumberbatch all the hype, but Johnny Lee Miller, really great dude.
He's great. Hashtag Trainspotting. Big Johnny Lee Miller fan.
Yeah.
But Halloween Town.
Yes.
Let's talk about it. This movie came out in 1998. It was directed
mm-hmm.
by Not Another Film Podcast alum and all-star Dwayne Dunham. Dwayne Dunham's films included
mm-hmm.
being an assistant film editor on all of the Indiana Jones and original Star Wars movies.
Okay. Where else, what other movie did he direct?
We've done two of his movies.
Is it Luck of the Irish?
No.
Are they DCOMs?
One is a DCOM, one is not.
Okay, is one of them Brink?
No. You got one more guess before I tell you, because I can't have this be the whole episode.
Smart House.
No, you're wrong, you idiot.
Damn it, which one?
Double Teamed.
That's right, I forgot we did Double Teamed.
And he directed The Little Giants.
I love The Little Giants.
Ooh, when we eventually do Homeward Bound, he directed that too. Oh, but I don't want to cry today. So,
Oh, man. Homeward Bound. That's going to be a rough one. That was the movie that made me cry the most as a kid.
It's 100%.
Like Homeward Bound, Billy Elliot. Those are like my one and two.
Very similar movies.
Dude, tell me you didn't cry at the end of Billy Elliot. If you didn't, you're a fucking liar.
I was going to say, when you and I watched it, like 2 years ago, I cried.
Yeah, I cried.
And I've seen that movie like three times.
It's like, those are the two movies that like, 100% of the time, every time I get to it, I'm like, I'm not gonna cry, I'm gonna be okay. And then I get to it and it's fucking Niagara Falls.
Listeners, what movie makes you cry? Call in 1-800-HALLOWEEN-TOWN. Mm-hmm. We'll answer the phone mm-hmm. as your favorite goose, goblin,
goose,
gull, sprite, or spirit. Goose? Yeah, it's a ghost goose.
Goost?
Yeah.
It's a goose.
A Christmas goose.
Aww.
But
with the moose.
You can come on the show and tell us what movie makes you cry the most. We'll have that conversation.
It's Wild Things.
Coming soon.
Oh, man.
Coming soon.
Talk about a movie where we see somebody's dick, yeah.
Yeah. And a movie where the nudity makes me very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. There's so much to discuss. Anyway, Halloween Town.
Halloween Town is about this old biddy who comes to town.
Who just wants to spend time with her grandkids.
Yeah, it's really... Okay, so this story, it's a tale as old as time. It's a song as old as rhyme. It's...
Halloween in Town.
Yes. So, the show is...
Show?
Yeah, you know, it's like the show.
The picture.
The picture.
The flick. We go into the show. The picture. The flick. The doodah.
Do you want to introduce
the moving pictures.
All of these accurately describe Halloween Town, which was a 1998 Disney film.
Okay, so it is about a girl named Marnie and not me. An old...
Marnie and me have a lot in
common.
Her name
is Marnie McFly. In that she flies on a broomstick. So she's just a normal 13-year-old girl who's obsessed with Halloween.
And her friends want to call her out on it. In front of her mom, they're literally like, well, Marnie likes all this weird Halloween bullshit.
Like, you don't like Halloween shit. Shut the fuck up, 13-year-olds.
I know. This kid had glasses, so you know that means that they're better than it.
That's true. They're better
than Halloween because they're intellectual. That's what it meant.
No one's better than Halloween. Get on the level.
If you had glasses before the year 2005, you were a Minkus and a Minkus alone.
Damn, calling me out. I had glasses and I loved Halloween.
Honestly, this is coming from a place of deep-seated jealousy, as I always wanted glasses growing up.
Really?
I always wanted them.
Because they make you look smarter or just because, like, a style thing?
I'm unbelievably insecure about my intelligence and I want people to think I'm a Minkus.
Interesting.
I also thought because of how large I was, both tall and wide, that having glasses would make me seem like less of a physical threat.
Oh. See, I thought you were going to say it was like optical illusion. They'll make me look shorter. And I was like, that's not how that worked. I don't know. I thought you'd have some weird logic explaining it.
Do you have funhouse glasses? What's your prescription?
I don't know what the logic of adolescent Ian is.
I've just tried to explain it to you. It was obviously flawed, but it got me to where I am today. So Halloween Town came out in 1998.
You do wear glasses today.
The music in this movie is done by Mark Mothersbaugh, which is pretty cool.
I don't recognize that name, but you did say that he did...
he does a lot of Wes Anderson stuff.
Oh, he also said that he did Rugrats.
He did the Rugrats.
It does feel very Rugrats-y.
Oh, yeah. This is like right around the same time.
Yeah, it's great. It's a very, very bright, very fun, very Halloween-y.
It feels a lot like... To me, I've always looked at his music as kind of like more whimsical Danny Elfman.
Yeah. More like kid, like different font Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman is Hot Topic.
Yeah. Now, Danny Elfman
is... We finally found out who it was. Danny Elfman was Hot Topic all along.
The only thing that you could be like more niche about is set your identity by is like, I'm not Halloween identity. I'm Nightmare Before Christmas kid. Where it's like, that movie is my identity.
That movie's awesome.
I had a friend group that like 50% of it was Nightmare Before Christmas. I almost said Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare Before Christmas is my identity.
Yes, that makes sense.
I love them dearly to this day, but you must roast them.
I mean, when we do Nightmare Before Christmas on this podcast at some point.
Yeah, I only saw it for the first time a few years ago.
I love that movie, but it is a lot of people's identity. But what's awesome about that movie...
It's not Halloween Town, 1998.
We're talking Halloween Town. It was a Disney Channel movie.
Are we just going to go back to one every time? So Marnie loves Halloween. Her friends are like, you're a fucking loser. Her mom is like, I fucking hate Halloween.
Well, her mom is, so they're the Cromwells.
The father is dead.
Disney.
And judging by her mom's response to all things Halloween, you would think that their dad was killed by Halloween.
Or by the mom in some sort of crazy...
Magical issue.
Curse from a family.
I do. Oh!
Hashtag Practical Magic.
Is this in the same universe as Practical Magic?
Yeah, Practical Magic takes place in Halloween Town, Lauren.
Fuck, you're so right.
They put the lime in the coconut, they mixed it all up.
Mix it all up.
And now we're in Halloween Town.
God, you're so right.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Nicole Kidman would have fit right in this movie.
Oh my god. She would have been so popular. Yeah. She would have been the mayor of Halloween Town after this guy gets ousted.
I would elect the fuck out of Nicole Kidman.
You're like, I just want to see her at public events all the time.
It would be wild.
It would just be an excuse to bring Nicole Kidman out and like look at her, like, and look at this beautiful alien.
Cause it wouldn't be like when, you know, like when like Trump was in office, where it was like everything was a disaster and it had consequences. Mm. I feel like if Nicole Kidman was elected to public office and had all these public events, they would all be kind of disastrous, but they would be amazing and fascinating to watch.
You're also like, bare minimum, I'm looking at Nicole Kidman.
This is very true.
She's so hot.
Sure. Halloween Town, 1998. This movie is about Marnie.
It's on the Disney Channel.
Okay, here's the deal.
Her dad was definitely killed by the mom in a magical accident. Like, yeah. Magic killed their dad.
Yeah, this is
canon. It is never explicitly stated, but it is the only thing I accept as canon.
They say the dad died like relatively like short, like a year ago,
recently,
right?
Recently.
But no one's sad about it.
I think it's like, I feel like the kids are treating it like it's old hat, so I want to say it's like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Or the kid, like, or the dad was like, I gotta go get cigarettes, and then never came back.
He's not dead. He just went to Halloween Town.
Oh, that would have been incredible if they went to Halloween Town, discovered their dad there living with their grandma. A torrid affair.
Holy shit.
He was like, no, I'll always be a Cromwell, but now I'm with your grandma, Debbie Reynolds.
Okay, so they say, okay, we're jumping way ahead. But at Halloween Town,
1998, Disney.
Time works differently in Halloween Town. So what if their dad ran away and was like, I'm going to spend 1 year in Halloween Town with my mistress or whatever the fuck. I'll be back in a few hours.
Is the mistress in the scenario still Debbie Reynolds?
Yes.
Awesome. That's all I ask.
But in doing that, he spent, the time is different and you can never quite tell. He spent an entire lifetime in Halloween Town. He was going to come back, but it was his entire life and he dies of old age in Halloween Town before the year's up.
So it's like a Halloween meets Interstellar kind of a thing.
Yeah. And so, like, Halloween Town and, like, time-space continuum took their father from them.
Isn't that what Halloween Town 2 Calabar's Revenge is?
They do time travel.
Wait, they do?
Yes, they do.
I'll be honest.
I vividly remember because she's on the broomstick riding through time, and you can see the years on each side. It's like a vortex.
Oh, at least they've done the courtesy of giving them the years. They know when they, exactly. when they jump off.
Yeah.
Thanks, time-space continuum.
Time-space continuum is officially easier to drive in than the city of Dallas.
Oh my god, time-space continuums are real homies.
Yeah.
What a cool.
Like, they really put up like some nice sign where like they've really they've redone the roads. It's great.
That's great. It's better than Lakeshore.
Yeah.
Anyway, Halloween Town, 1998. This movie
was on the Disney Channel.
Mom says, no magic in my house. Debbie Reynolds says, yes, magic. We gotta train Marnie up.
Well, the Debbie Reynolds is their grandma and has come to visit. She only visits like once a year on Halloween.
She told the dad who she's having a torrid affair with in Halloween Town, you stay put. And then he goes, no, I want to come with. And she goes, fine, you can come in my luggage. And I'll put a spell on it, so I'll turn you into a luggage bag. So every time they reach in this luggage bag.
Oh no.
Yeah, the dad was like, this wasn't part of the bargain.
This episode is becoming absolutely incomprehensible, Ian. What's happening? Whenever we do DCOMs, it always spirals into absolute nonsense because there's no structure to them. There's no, like, substance.
They're a series of discrete vignettes that you can put together in any order. There's, like, three scenes that need to go in an order and everything else can just happen.
It's not a plot. It's just things that happen.
It feels like a French New Wave film. It's just like, I don't understand how we got from here to here, but we're here now, and I guess I'm cool with it because I'm a kid.
I don't know why we're at the dentist, like, getting a vampire tooth, but we got it.
Like, I'm a child. I have no control over anything. May as well not have any control over my comprehension of Halloween Town.
Bippity boppity boo.
You can't say boo. That's not cool.
Oh, no. I started this episode saying boo.
I know.
Oh, no. So, Halloween Town.
1988.
I'm sorry.
So, Debbie...
You think through repetition, I would have gotten better.
Marnie is 13 years old, and according to witch law,
she's an adult now.
Yeah, it's witch bar mitzvah.
Witch bar mitzvah.
Or bat mitzvah, excuse me.
Bat mitzvah.
Where was Disney Channel when I was growing up with their Halloween coming of age tale bat mitzvah about a Jewish kid who turns into a vampire.
Holy shit, Ian.
On her bat mitzvah.
Stop talking. We need to write the script.
Oh my God. Disney Channel.
Sorry, listeners. We have to stop this right now. We need to go write
this script. This shit is trademark. If anybody else steals bat mitzvah from us, I will fucking find you.
Yeah. Sorry. You'll hear a slight disruption in this episode. That's us going away to click, 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 write the script. And we're back.
We sold bat mitzvah for $60,000.
Going on Netflix soon. Yay. Yeah.
But I don't want to put it on Netflix. Not now.
Oh, God.
Lauren made a deal with Ted Sarandos I was unaware of.
No!
I thought we were selling to Quibi.
No. Oh, Quibi. Yeah. Because there's nothing wrong with Quibi.
No, it just doesn't exist anymore. Does that mean that Bat Mitzvah's going to be shelved?
Yeah, they don't know that.
It's okay. I'll edit all of this out. So Halloween Town, 1998, Disney Channel, Debbie Reynolds is like, we gotta train up Marnie before she loses her bat mitzvah powers.
You lose your powers if you don't use your powers.
Well, lose it if you don't use it.
But she, okay, I'm confused about this. So if you don't use your powers by your 13th Halloween, you lose your powers forever.
Forever.
But she has used her powers. Her mom says she's been covering it up for years. So it doesn't mean like you have to like formally start your training?
She has to go to the Bene Gesserit school.
I think it's just that she has to go to Halloween Town. If you don't go to Halloween Town, you lose your powers.
That's bullshit. I don't like that membership crap.
I guess like, but then how did it work before Halloween Town was created? Because they talk about how Halloween Town did not always exist. It was built out of oppression. We drove them to Halloween Town.
Yeah, here, talk about the history of Halloween Town, because this was fascinating. We find this out from Calabar, the mayor, who looks like Alice Cooper. And he looks like your neighbor, Alice Cooper.
a long time ago, all of these creatures and critters and ghouls used to live amongst us, and we used to mingle. They never say when, but I assume sometime at or before,
like the 70s.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It could be.
Yeah,
could have been 20 years ago. We don't know. But at least at or before Arthurian ages, because they do talk about Merlin.
Yeah, so Merlin plays a big part in this.
At some point, I'm assuming probably around like the medieval times. Humanity tried to kill all of them.
Yeah, kill all monsters.
Tried to kill all the monsters, which is pretty dark. And then to save themselves, they went and created like a pocket dimension.
Yes.
For themselves. And then all of the monsters picked up and moved over to Halloween Town, where they continued developing culture pretty much on par and concurrent to our modern culture.
But years behind.
They have like sneakers.
Sneakers, but they're like it's not necessarily, it doesn't feel current. It does feel like it's like 5 years in the past almost.
Yeah,
like
but they're it's catching not, but they're up. Not like in like Victorian era.
No, I mean like, but there's like an ice cream shop in there. It feels kind of quaint. Like the 50s-y, Halloween Town feels like.
It's very pure.
Yeah, it feels like Hill Valley in the Back to the Future movies.
Yeah, it's very, like, 50s vibe, you're right.
Yeah. But Halloween Town, 1998, Disney Channel, Debbie Reynolds plays Agatha Cromwell, Aggie.
Ian and I had a long argument about whether or not Aggie is a valid nickname for Agatha, so please message us, listeners, and let us know, because I think it's completely valid.
If you are named Agatha or you know anyone named Agatha and they go by Aggie, then I will officially on air retract the statement that I have never heard that nickname before in my life.
I think Ian is an absolute fucking hypocrite, because we run a show. We have a scripted ongoing show called The Vanishing Act, where our lead character, whose name is August, goes by Augie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just one letter more than Aggie.
That letter is a vowel, and it's important.
Aggie and Augie are interchangeable. It's totally fine.
Halloween Town.
I just, like, listeners, let us know. I just think Ian's a fucking hypocrite.
1998.
You can be Disney called Channel whatever you want.
Marnie's 13. Marnie has two
use
siblings.
It or you lose it.
Yeah, it's like her virginity. You don't use it, you lose it.
That's not true at all.
It's not.
You don't use it, you lose it?
Yeah.
What? If you don't use your virginity, you lose your virginity?
I don't want to talk about
it. How do you use your virginity?
You know, like, use it up. Boom. I used it.
Like a battery?
Yeah, you know, like a coupon.
Anyway, Halloween Town.
1998 Disney Channel. She's got two dud siblings.
No, not a dud.
No, right.
Her... Sophie is be is like the
Soapy?
Only... Whenever we do two-person episodes, these just devolve so quickly.
No, that's what Alice Cooper keeps calling her. He says, Soapy, and she goes, Sophie.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's her whole character in this. What are you talking about? No, I pay attention to this shit.
Her, that's 50% of her character. The other 50% is being the only one that can do magic of these three kids.
She's a real Sunny Bottle.
I think that Marnie's a dud. Marnie's the one that wants it the most, but that doesn't mean she's the best at magic.
Oh, no. She's actually, I think she's the worst at magic.
Yeah, Sophie, like, her brother can, like, do sparks from his hands at the end.
And he...
He's got, like, electricity magic.
He's a real Minkus. He's got these glasses.
Yep.
And, yeah, but he's the one who plays the rules by the book,
I think this kid is great.
He's very good.
I think he's actually a pretty good actor.
I think most of the kid actors in this are good.
I always get distracted because this kid looks like... Be like, if you combined my brothers when they were his age,
yeah, listeners, you know those
one person, he looks exactly like my brothers, and I've never been able to unsee it. I'm just like, Scott, is that you?
It is,
yeah. What listeners want to know about our lives,
yeah. Yeah, sometimes. They wanted to know, you know, your address, your social security number.
Yeah, they want to know. The people want to know. My mother's maiden name, street I grew up on, my childhood pet.
The fact that you're the heiress to Hot Topic.
I'm just going to take out my credit card right now and start listing. 5, 3, 2.
Keep going. I'm writing it down. Oh my gosh. Halloween Town, 1998. So then, you know, Marnie overhears this conversation where Debbie Reynolds is like, you know, me daughter's a witch, and so's me granddaughter. Granddaughter's like, oh shit, I guess I am a witch. That explains why I liked Halloween so much. I had a natural proclivity to dark things and the macabre. But
she doesn't even. She's just like, I'm ghosts. Wouldn't it be cool if ghosts were real?
Okay, let's just get to the bus. So Debbie Reynolds gets kicked out of the house.
Wait, I just want to say really quickly, side
note. We are 3 minutes into this
movie. I just have to say, side note. There's at one point where she opens her suitcase and she has a shit ton of candy that she's giving the kids because the kids are not allowed to get candy. Because even that is a gateway drug to Halloween and therefore magic.
The thing that killed their father.
The thing that killed their father.
For what she thinks. Yeah. She thinks that's why the father's dead. Yes. Really, as we said, the father's not dead.
He's
having
alive.
An affair
He's
with
alive.
Debbie Reynolds in Halloween Town. He just doesn't want them to find out.
Yes. And all of the candy is the worst fucking candy you could possibly imagine.
It's all, I hate, I know
it's
this is
mints.
Gonna sound.
It's all mints.
I love mints, first
They're
of all.
They're the peppermints.
But it's all mints and butterscotch hard candies.
Well,
it is.
And those, not even the butterscotch candy, like the clear hard candies that are like the non-name brand, like cherry, like green, red flavor.
You know what the variety is? It's bank candy. When you go to the Walgreens and you can buy like the Halloween candy variety pack, you can buy the bank candy variety pack, and it's always candy canes, no matter what time of year it is.
And lozenges.
Mints. And then, like a thing of Halls that they put in, like mixed
like,
among some
like
Werther's
and
originals.
It's like a sleeve of Halls. Like, it's not like individual. Like, you just get like one random sleeve that looks like a fucking thing of quarters and you could just fucking brain someone.
And they're
with.
Always the blue Halls, which are not
the
good.
The worst kind of Halls.
No, you want yellow or nothing.
Cherry.
Nah, get out of here with
Cherry.
That
Cherry.
Halloween Town.
1998.
So we get on this bus. Debbie Reynolds is like, fine, fuck you, daughter, that's trying to hide my granddaughter's magical Halloween lineage from her. I'm gonna go back to Halloween Town where I am wanted. And she keeps trying to tell her daughter, like, something's up. People keep, like, my friends keep turning into mean versions of themselves. So
we can relate. 2016.
Something's afoot. All of my neighbors keep discovering Twitter.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And
they keep sending me really fucked up Facebook shares. Like,
I've gotten forwarded the same joke that I was forwarded back in 1922.
Oof.
It's all weirdly sexist.
It's rough.
Yeah. Anyway, when they get on this bus.
Yeah, they follow their grandma.
Yeah. So they get on this bus, and the bus starts driving away, and then it starts flying away. Mm-hmm. It goes up, 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 and away. And then everyone, like, turns into full-on Monstars. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, the only thing, like, visually I could compare it to is it felt like Monkey Bone.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It feels like Monkey Bone mixed with, like a Halloween day at Disney. Where yeah. People are walking around with their normal bodies mm-hmm. in, like, a suit with skid marks painted on it so it looks like they were run over, and then just like the head of a camel or something mm-hmm. like that. Like it's very like the costumes are great because they're all practical, but they're very like slapdash and thrown together.
Yeah.
This was so fun fact about this. This was filmed in St. Helen, Oregon, and the giant pumpkin is still in the town square.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
They do like a big Halloween Town celebration like yeah. around this time of year.
Just want to say side note. I know we don't have enough side notes in this episode, but I miss the days with Halloween where you could be generic things for Halloween.
Oh, where you're like, I'm a baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or where you could just be like, I'm
a soccer ball.
I'm like a dude whose face is inside out, or like I'm.
That's
like,
a super specific one. No,
no. No, you're like
I'm a bird. That's
or like I'm a mummy. You know, like I like all of the like I'm just like a random Halloween monster. Like I'm a vampire. I'm like a blank. Like I just feel like.
What was the simplest Halloween costume you ever did?
I was a witch.
A witch.
A witch.
No specific witch.
No, I was just a witch.
Did you base your performance off of anyone?
Performance?
As a witch when you were walking around getting candy.
No, I just was a witch. I was a kid that was a witch.
You didn't put on any sort of performance?
No, I didn't.
Any sort of character?
No.
Really?
I posed for photos, but like I didn't do a voice.
You're just like, hi, I'm a witch.
Okay, anyway, the point that I was
making... Did you have a name?
Ugh.
Oh, Paranormal Activity.
Oh, no. Things are falling from where? No, I didn't have specifics. That's what I'm saying, is I miss the time when someone's like, what are you? And you can just say, I'm a witch. Now you have to be like, I'm Daenerys Targaryen. Or like, you have to like have a pop culture
reference. Are you calling Daenerys Targaryen a witch?
I'm not. I'm saying that you have to like be specific characters now.
Sure.
Rather than just generic, like, I'm a mummy.
Yeah, but like, which mummy? Are you Imhotep or are you like the
I'm
mummy,
saying we
like
didn't
Sophia Boutella?
Have to answer these questions before.
Yeah, but now.
We didn't have to answer these hard questions. We could just be lazy and spooky for the sake of spooky's sake. We didn't have
the
to like.
For the sake of spooky's sake?
Yes, I said what I said.
Do you think that that's because there's been a rise in theme and group costumes?
Maybe. I think it's because we're constantly obsessed with like referencing pop culture. I think that it's simple as that.
Oh, so you think it's a Ready Player One scenario?
I do. Okay. I think. I also think there's
everyone's trying to validate their fandom.
I also think that people are not necessarily just celebrating the spirit of Halloween anymore. Now it's a weird competition where everyone has to be the cleverest person in the room when it comes to their Halloween costume. So everyone's got to have a pun. They've got to be like super specific. We can't just show up. It's not enough anymore to show up and be a mummy. You have to show up and be a mummy for a reason.
Is this in response to this morning when I said you and I should dress identically with two Boston Red Sox hats and go as Good Will Hunting and Bad Will Hunting?
Yes. I think I should be able to go into the bathroom, get a roll of toilet paper, wrap it around myself, and call it a day.
I love that.
I think I should be able to do that.
Lauren, is this you right now on air saying that when Nicole Kidman is up for re-election as mayor of Halloween Town, you will be running against her?
Yes, I will.
On the platform of make costumes simple again?
Make costumes spooky and simple.
Halloween Town, 1998.
You too can be a mermaid for the fifth year in a row. And no one's gonna stop you. You must not find an obscure Game of Thrones character that's only in the books. You can just be a witch.
Holy shit.
Yes.
This is powerful stuff.
Yeah. I think it's really gonna be freeing for the people of Halloween Town.
So describe Halloween Town to the people.
So it's nothing like what I just described. They actually do have to be the same thing every year.
Yeah. Well, because they're born that
way. They are born that way, to quote the Lady Gaga song that Ian does not like. go after him.
Why are you dragging me on?
Because it's a great song, Ian, and the fact that you don't like Born This Way is wild to me.
I love the message of Born This Way. I love what it means.
It's so catchy. What are you talking about?
To pop culture. I like Lady Gaga a lot. It's just not one of my
recommendation
favorite.
For a modern update of Halloween Town is the song Born This Way by Fine. Lady Gaga.
Then mine is Welcome to the Black Parade.
You can't. No, that's not 10 years. It's been 15 years.
It's been at least 10 years since Born This Way came out.
Shut up. Shut up.
Halloween Town, 1998.
So Halloween Town is a town where it's always Halloween.
Get it? I can't believe that broke you.
Continue, please.
So the kids are walking around. Debbie Reynolds sees them immediately and is like, oh shit, I've got their dad trapped in my house as my sex slave.
No, okay. No, they find her at her house.
Oh, they go to the Cromwell Estate.
She's like, I don't see them at all. She's just going about her day.
Yeah, so they find the Cromwell Estate. Oh, it's locked. Minkus is like, we gotta go. It's locked. And Marnie's like, no, I'm magic. I'm gonna break this lock. Turns out she's a dud right now. She has no clue how to use
her
magic.
She's got nothing. She's got the worst rhymes you could possibly imagine.
Watching Marnie at an open mic would be just straight up atrocious.
My girl is struggling.
But I'd admire her bravery because it's very, very hard.
Sophie comes in with like...
Soapy?
I'm not gonna make it to this episode yet.
She just pushes the door open. It's like, I don't know. I thought the fucking lock would be cooler as a frog. And then look down. It's a frog. Now we know.
She's a prodigy.
She's a real Sunny Bottler.
But like, I get how Marnie feels right now. I feel like I would be angrier than Marnie because we've all had that experience where like you want something so bad and then some fucking idiot is really good at the thing that you want to be good at. And you're like, them? Them?
That's how I feel about TikTok dances.
That's how I feel about TikTok in general. I'm like, I wish I could understand.
Yeah.
But I don't. I'm too old.
Ian, no, you're not.
Too old for TikTok.
You could get a TikTok.
I could, but I'd be
Listeners, old. Call in 1-800-HALLOWEEN-TOWN if you think Lauren could get a TikTok.
Oh, man.
Yeah, then they get in. Debbie Reynolds, I like this. She's making, she's going to make a witch's brew.
Which is brute because she needs to put it in this talisman
of Merlin
that lights up.
Yes.
That was owned by Merlin because that will dispel the darkness that is going on in the town.
Yeah.
But she tries to use some instant, like, basically...
Instant witch's brew, which is a great joke.
Yeah, it was like instant yeast, basically. Yeah, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. The kids are in there like, we can help you. And she's like, all right, cool. I guess
I also love that she uses the microwave and it's got a double toil and trouble setting.
It's awesome.
I love it.
Debbie Reynolds is a delight. We should say
that.
Oh,
yeah. She's the best part of this movie by a wide margin.
She did all four. There are four of these fucking movies.
I know. And not all of them have the original Marnie, and that's booty.
Is there another actor playing Marnie?
Yeah. They replace her with another actress.
Yikes.
I'm not a fan of. It's very...
You got strong Marnie opinions?
A lot of people have strong Marnie opinions.
Are those the same people that have strong opinions about Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah. Hashtag not our Marnie.
We love you guys.
Yeah. She doesn't even have the right energy for
it. You know what I say?
Nothing is about her is right.
Here's what I say. I say Nightmare Before Christmas, it doesn't need to just be a Halloween movie, and it doesn't need to just be a Christmas movie. It can be both.
It can be a Thanksgiving movie.
I appreciate a movie that does, a holiday movie that does not exist in a holiday binary.
It can be a St. Patrick's Day movie.
Watch it.
It can be a Valentine's Day movie.
Yeah. Jack and Sally, Romance of the Century.
It can be an Easter movie.
Oogie Boogie, Rise from the Dead.
Oh, man.
So...
It can be a New Year's movie.
Yeah. Locked, Stock, and Barrel. That one didn't really fit, but the New Year's
Halloween year. Town, 1998. In fair Verona, where we lay our scene.
Keep going.
From...
Two households. Nope, never mind.
Break
okay.
New mutiny? Where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes.
Okay, I'm not going to make you do this one.
I could, though. That's the point.
And what you just heard, listeners on air, is why Lauren is running for mayor of Halloween Town.
Yes.
2022. Watch your fucking back, Nicole.
Make costumes simple.
And spooky again.
And spooky again.
We need to streamline. We need to go back to the drawing
room. No, simple. They can be simple. They don't have to be spooky. You can be a milk carton if you'd like.
Yeah. Make tagline simple again.
Yeah.
By making costumes simple and spooky again.
You can be a slice of pizza.
I like how your mayoral platform is just like more recess, essentially.
Two proms.
Ran on a two-prom platform. So they're like, now we got to go into town. The talisman doesn't work, obviously. Like we said, instant witch's brew. Can't do that shit. You got to do it from scratch.
It's a big old dud. It's as big of a dud as Marnie.
Like, Debbie Reynolds, you don't have a job. You have all the time in the world to bake.
Yeah. But, and bake she does. Also, like, Aggie is high. Aggie's constantly high.
Aggie is a Lily Tomlin and Grace and Frankie. Yeah. I don't know which one she is, Grace or Frankie.
I want to say...
Kaminsky.
Frankie? She seems like a Frankie. Anyway, Debbie Reynolds is baked this whole movie. Like, it's the only explanation for how chill she is beginning to end.
Full Frankie.
Yeah. Or Grace.
Or
Grace. I refuse to find out which is which. That's the thing that made you lose it, Ian. Ian's crying.
That's very funny. I love Grace and Frankie jokes. So many people watch it. My family watches it.
Our friend Sydney, shout out. She's going to text me immediately and be like, it's Frankie.
So Debbie Reynolds.
That's how Sydney sounds.
Is stoned off her ass this whole movie. And it's like, oh, fuck yeah, let's go into town. Like, let's get some fucking ice cream. This way they won't see the fathers chained up in the basement. And so they go into town. First things first, they go to the Abominable Snowman's ice cream shop, which is pretty clever and cute. Mm-hmm. They meet up with Calabar, who's, you know, your neighbor, Alice Cooper. And he's pulling pranks. He looks like Alice Cooper doing a Willy Wonka cosplay.
Oh my God, such a great call.
Yeah.
Such a great call.
And he's
I was going to say Alice Cooper in like a Comic Sans font, you know?
You know he's too friendly because he's like being real... fun with these kids, and I don't like that. I'm never a fan of when adults are really,
just
really friendly.
A lollipop out of an ear.
Yeah, and Soapy's like, I want to eat that.
Soapy?
Yeah, she's like, give me that lollipop, old man.
That's not hygienic. I don't like that. And he's like, oh my God, so good to have you. I'm the mayor.
Yeah, and you're like, that dude's the bad guy.
And I'm like, not for much longer, asshole.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman's coming in to take your job.
And I'm coming in to take hers. Ice cream for everyone. Free ice cream for everyone.
Anyway,
reopen the movie theater. Let's do it.
Yeah, they're like, we have great movies here, but meanwhile the movie theater says like closed forever. Like, Debbie Reynolds, when did you see movies here?
Time works differently in Halloween Town,
obviously, but they don't tell you what time of day it is out in the sky. Like, it seems like Marnie got when she traveled through time.
That's so true.
Yeah,
because they leave in the middle of the night and they arrive in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I guess what's the time difference in Halloween Town?
I don't know. They would have had severe jet lag. It was the middle of the night.
Is it one of those pocket ecosystems, or does it get cold?
I don't know. Does it ever become night? We don't see it become night at any point.
That's true. We see it get dark.
No, we don't.
When Calabar comes out.
Yeah, but that's not because of the time of day. That's because of clouds. That's weather. That's magic-induced weather.
So do we think this is like in Alaska for 6 months out of the year? It's just like always bright?
That seems so strange because it is a town that is based on the spookiness of Halloween.
It's also based on nightmares.
Well, it's also based on...
death.
Yeah, because there are people that just seem to be people that died in Halloween Town. So, but they
because
talk...
because that skeleton...
that he talks about being... like, well, there's also a ghost that talks about being in hell and how this is worse than that because he's in a sauna and it reminds him of being in hell.
Yeah.
So that means that maybe... for a ghost to get to Halloween Town, they go to hell, and there's like a back door into Halloween Town.
Oh, you think it's like a velvet, like the velvet rope?
I think Halloween Town, much like on the show Supernatural, it's like purgatory where there's like
wait, Halloween Town's on the show Supernatural?
No, I wish. I fucking wish it was.
Oh, okay.
But much, I'm saying much like Purgatory and Supernatural is like, there's like a back door in. I think that that's how you get to Halloween Town. You go through hell and then there's like, you know, by the bathrooms, there's like one, the thing that looks like the utility closet, but then you like go to the back of it, you crawl down beneath Halloween Town.
Follow that dark, dingy cellar all the way down, take two rights, and then boop, 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 you're in the back of the Abominable Snowman's ice cream shop in Halloween Town.
Huzzah!
So you're saying Halloween Town is the Hogsmeade of hell?
Yes. Absolutely.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where they, the only place they could go. Humanity wouldn't accept them, so they had to go through the fires of hell to avoid, like, being persecuted on Earth.
So in your reading of the movie Halloween Town,
that's where they're driving through on the bus. The bus is going through hell.
So in your reading of the movie Halloween Town, yes. Judeo-Christian ideals of hell exist.
Well, I'm not
proving that is the religion. That's like that they got it right.
No,
that's what you're saying.
No, I am saying that maybe a hell exists, but I don't know that it is necessarily the Judeo-Christian version of hell.
Well. We don't believe in hell, so.
Exactly. I'm saying that maybe it is not that version of hell. It is a version of the afterlife that then, because of our conceptions on Earth about what hell is, we interpret as hell. He actually does say Hades, so that wouldn't imply that it is actually...
polytheism.
It is the underworld, because Hades does exist.
I love
so
that.
So maybe on the bus, they are going down the River Styx, and then... They're like, maybe
but they're
Halloween,
going through the sky.
Maybe Halloween Town is in the underworld.
Oh, that's...
That would make sense, actually.
It feels so bright and full of life and
but
joy.
But artificially that.
Oh. You don't think people are really that happy there?
I think that they have...
I want to believe they're happy.
I'm saying that they are happy, but I think that the artifice of Halloween Town is a way to take their oppression and to make a happy thing out of it. So it makes sense that these people... went to this place that exists in hell, but they're going to make the most of it. They're going to, like, make everything happy and make it look like it's in the 50s. We're in a golden age, but we're still going to keep a little bit of that darkness to remind us where we came from.
Okay. I like this.
Yeah, I like that too.
Is this part of the Halloween Town you want to get back to as mayor?
Yes.
Okay.
I do want to preserve that innocence, which is why I think we should have 3 proms.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what you're going to do about the budget or anything like that?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm going to figure it out.
Okay. I love that. How are you going to listen to your constituents? Suggestion box?
Oh, I'm just going to walk around and talk to them.
That's what this guy does.
I'm going to hang out in the ice cream shop.
Calabar makes a point to being like, I wouldn't really be a good mayor if I didn't know everyone's name. And it's like, that's not true. At no point in my life have I ever met the mayor of the town I've been in.
I don't need them to know my name.
Yeah.
I just need them to want to tax the rich.
That's not what he's doing.
I know, and he's
not. He's like, he's Halloween Town
royalty. That's where I'm going to get the budget. I'm going to tax the rich.
I love that.
Cromwells, I'm coming for your mansion.
Yeah, because you know the Cromwells are the 1%.
They're fucking loaded.
Yeah.
You saw 100%. That fucking mansion.
That
They're
mansion's
loaded.
Been there forever.
They are the problem.
So we get... I kind of just, like, don't want to talk about the movie. I kind of just want to talk about, like, details of the world and the implications.
Oh, can we talk about how Calabar, when he goes evil, because, spoiler alert, he's
Yeah,
evil.
Let's cut to this, because this
looks
crazy.
Exactly like Emperor Palpatine in Rise of Skywalker.
That's a great call. That's not where I was going to go, but I love that.
Because that's what I was going to talk about, because it's actually, when I saw Rise of Skywalker, exactly what I thought when I saw Palpatine.
Oh, when he's on that wire hookup?
I went, wow, I really didn't notice that he looks exactly like Calabar.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I thought he looked kind of like the monster from Jeepers Creepers, but...
Oh, I've never seen Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, man, you are missing nothing. But you should... But yeah, I like that Palpatine call. Mm-hmm. He's always yelling because the wind machine that he has got going is loud as fuck. Everything he says is like this! And he's laughing constantly.
Use that stage training.
This fucking design is excellent.
I really like all the practicals in this movie.
The practicals are great. The CGI looks garbage because it was 1998 and it was a Disney Channel movie, so it had a budget of like $14.
Yeah, the scenes where they're like flying on the broomstick look like absolute shit. But then like all of the monster design looks really cute.
Yeah,
I like
it. It
looks really cute and really cool. I think Benny, the taxi driver that's a skeleton.
A full-on robot.
He looks great.
He does look great.
That holds up. Like,
the
he's
face,
really
the
good.
The face muscles move, which
Disney
are cool.
Really flexed on that.
Yeah. But I like, this is, I feel like this is a top five Disney Channel movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
A lot of people love this movie.
It's a classic.
It's cool. I just want to get that out of the way. But,
it's this, Brink, 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 and Brink.
And then Brink the porn parody, Brunk.
Oh, my God!
Which we are making. No, I'm kidding.
I hope Brink and Val are very happy together.
Oh, they are.
I love those two. I hope they're so happy.
The other thing I want to bring up is that when you finally get the reason why, like when Calabar like reveals himself to be like the villain, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm actually this like,
yeah.
I'm Palpatine. Everyone in town, his whole plan is like, we are going to go back to the world of the mortals again. Like, we're no mm-hmm. longer going to live in like fear of them. Like, mm-hmm. we're more powerful than them. We're going to take our world back. Like, that's his whole thing.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like Killmonger and Black Panther.
Kind of. Where you're like, it's not a bad reason, but it also...
Like,
but
then they did oppress you. Like, they, you know, I understand if, like, you're a witch, you're like, yeah, we did get burned by those people.
The thing about it, which is so odd that this movie does, though, is he has only one acolyte.
Yeah.
He's got one kid that's working for him, Luke. Ugh. Everyone in this town hates him. And what's crazy is they're all like, Luke's a little shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out that Luke, like, is this normal looking kid, but he was like a fucking troll. Mm. Like a literal troll.
And then like he got plastic surgery.
Yeah, and then Calabar like fixed his face up and he just acts like Edward Furlong in Terminator 2.
Yeah, he's a little fucking dick.
He's like, I'm just a cool kid. I want to go on a date with you, Danny, Marnie, whatever your name is. I gotta go, bye.
He sucks, is what we're saying.
But they're all like, ugh, that fucking Luke. So does that mean that like, he had that personality and he looked like a troll and people hated him before he got turned into a
troll? No, they said that he's been a dick ever since he changed his appearance.
Oh, okay.
So I think he was
That'd be fucked up if they were just like...
No, I think he's just... he was a really insecure person that then got to look the way that he had always dreamed of looking and then was like, great, I can treat people like shit now.
Yeah, man, that's
what... He let it go to his head too much.
That's how I live my life.
But it's also very interesting because... Halloween Town doesn't really have any, other than like their grandma, other than Aggie, doesn't really have many people who look like what we consider like regular human beings.
Yeah.
And so.
Got a lot of dog people, so like a lot of crocodile people, a lot of alien heads.
So yeah, so if he had lived there his whole life, as most of them have, then.
How is that the beauty standard?
Exactly. Like, how is...
Calabar looks like a normal person.
But that's, I guess, because he's the mayor. He's like, he's poisoning the well.
He's putting him... He's turning him into his own image.
Oh, he's making them all think that they're not good enough. Even though, like, by far, like, Calabar is the one that looks weird compared to everyone else. Because, like, the beauty standard absolutely should skew more to the way that Luke naturally looks.
Yeah.
That should be considered a hottie.
Yeah, like, they should make him look like a little, like, you know, like... Like a fucking hot gargoyle or something. Like a fucking like sexy little fish man or something.
I think when you see him, he is a sexy little gargoyle. But like, okay, I'm sorry, he's a child.
Sorry, that guy sucks. And he was an ugly fuck.
But yeah, it doesn't make any sense that he would have our standards of beauty.
No, not at all.
There is like not even any advertisement. There's no social media. They also like don't really have any like interaction with the normal world unless you have family in the normal world.
Yeah.
So it does just doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, not at all.
But and then so he's the only acolyte and
but that's what I was saying. So there's when he reveals himself to finally be like, hey, it's me, the mayor, like
mm-hmm.
and he's like, we're gonna go out there and we're gonna take back the mortal world. No one's excited about it.
Yeah, but he's got all the people in the movie theater that are like paralyzed or like knocked out, and he's going to like turn them into zombies, I think.
So he's like, if you don't do what I say, I'm gonna kill your friends.
No, I think he's like, if you don't do what I say, I'm just gonna turn you into a mindless zombie anyway.
It just seems so much like
but we never see an example of what that would be like, so it's hard to believe that that was ever a possibility.
Well, I think it's her friend Harriet, right? When her friend Harriet's mean to her on the street, and it's like,
yeah,
she met up with
turns into a monster again, yeah.
But she's, like, not, like, causing a ruckus. Like, if she's just, like, walks, she's like, don't fucking talk to me, Aggie.
She's just having a bad day.
It's like, I ate chorizo at this breakfast shop, and I'm definitely going to shit my pants if I don't get home soon.
It's like, get out of my way.
I saw chorizo burrito, and I thought, that sounds delicious. And guess what? It was, but now it's racing through my bowels, and I got to get home because it is fucking Splash Mountain in my pants right now.
So if I have
hashtag
to
hashtag Disney World.
So if I have to, I will fucking shove you to the curb, old lady.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Yeah. This was my decision. Yeah. I chose the chorizo burrito. And again, I'm glad I did. It was scrumptious.
But I will murder you so that I can get home and die.
Do you understand?
I also love these pants and I can't ruin them.
Hold on. Never mind, I'm good again.
How are you? How are the grandkids?
Her face relaxes. Everyone just looks around. The pH of the whole scene changes. This woman has just shit herself in the middle of Main Street. Harriet, do you need me to take you home? No, I'm good.
Do we need to call Benny to drive you home?
I'm fine. What's up, Aggie? Are these your grandkids? You know what? I will take one of those scones. Are you sure you don't want one of these scones? Harriet. I, can you and I have a little, like, can we sidebar for a second? Come on. It's your grandparents. Anything you want to say in front of me, you can say in front of them. You shat your pants, Harriet. I can see it leaking out of your pant leg right now. You are standing in a puddle that is a different color than Main Street.
Halloween Town!
1998! Harriet's running amok, shitting anywhere she can.
So anyway, Debbie Reynolds goes down like a bitch against Halliburton.
Debbie Reynolds straight up just goes yeah, I'm done. Well, the mom comes back,
and she also gets taken out like a bitch.
She does.
They, like, basically, Calabar casts a, like, sleeping spell on both of them in the movie theater. They go down. It's basically like Odin's sleep in the first Thor movie. They're just like,
pointless.
I'm gonna take a nap.
Yeah, and so the kids have to
put a potion together.
We gotta get this witch's brew together from scratch. And one of the things they need is hair of a werewolf. So they go to this boutique. Mm-hmm. With this...
A hairstylist,
where the Zohan is cutting hair. Mm-hmm. And it's this werewolf.
It seems like they could have asked very nicely and said, like, hey, we've got a problem. Can we get a little tiny snipping of your hair?
Or just, like, look down on the ground. I'm sure there's some hair.
Yeah.
It's a fucking barber shop.
Also, they probably only need, like, one hair. Like, they could just be like, hey, dude, really quickly, can we just get this? I'm sure it's not the first time that a witch has asked for ingredients from people. Like,
instead, Soapy just, like, takes out a large chunk of the back of this werewolf's head.
Yeah. And no, Minkus does.
Minkus does. Mm-hmm. Good for Minkus.
He does the dirty work.
He does the dirty work. Next thing they do is they go... This one's fucked up. They have to get the sweat of a ghost.
Yeah.
So they go to a gym, which they don't have a membership for. I know that's not how gyms work. I've tried this before. And
Halloween Town is better for it, though.
Again, it's this 50s vibe.
And under my mayoral race...
Make
race,
gyms
my
free again.
Term,
yeah.
Gyms will all be free.
I love this. Mm-hmm. You heard it here, folks. If you want to vote for Lauren, call 1-800-HALLOWEEN-TOWN.
There we go.
So they need the sweat of a ghost. So they follow this Fatty Arbuckle ghost into this, like, sweat box.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely like a mobster ghost.
Yeah, this dude has done... He's this Tony Soprano ghost.
This is definitely... Yeah.
Yeah.
Minor character in The Sopranos.
Yeah. And so they lock him in this sweat box and they crank the heat up on this Nunzio. And then they're like, all right, we got to do something here. We got to get this sweat. And the ghost is, like, distracted.
Sophie insults this ghost.
By talk about
and
this.
And honestly,
this
it seems
up.
Unnecessary because he was sweating already.
Yeah.
You could just be like, yo, we just need to get, like, a little bit of your sweat. Is that okay with you? I'm like, that's fine. What is he going to do? He can't move his fucking arms. Just get the sweat.
Instead, she puts on this sheet and she starts going, ooh, woo, 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 woo. And the guy's like, that's not fucking funny, dude.
I'm a ghost. I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm fucking dead. That's not cool.
Imagine if Ron just started doing an impression of one of the goblins at Green Gods because he wasn't moving fast enough to get his money.
Oh, boy.
Not fun.
Not fun.
Not fun. Don't make fun of things that you aren't, kid.
Yeah. So they get the sweat, and that leaves just the vampire's fang.
Yeah. talk about this one.
Luckily, there's a vampire getting a fang pulled that day.
Yeah.
From the Tooth Fairy.
And the Tooth Fairy does not look how you'd expect them to look.
No.
They look like the fucking, like, camel from Camel Cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's a rough look. It's a scary looking dude.
Yeah. And he, like, makes a big deal of it, too. He's like, or I'm not the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, because you gotta get that in there. But, okay, so there's vampires in this town.
Yep.
Who are they bleeding dry?
Oof.
Where are they getting their blood from?
So there's this woman named Harriet who runs this service, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Where she goes into the human world
mm-hmm.
once a year, right? Just on Halloween.
That's the only time they can. Yeah, it's the only time that they cross over.
And just fucking, like, murders everyone that she can. She goes to a different town every year, and she just, like, brings back stockpiles of blood.
Damn, I was thinking that she would just, like, break into a blood bank.
Nope.
It means...
full-on murder.
It's gotta be murder. Yeah. She's gotta quench her thirst for murder as
That's the thing, is because all of them are pushing down this desire to kill...
Yeah, constantly.
As all ghosts and ghouls do.
Yeah, it is very nice that on Halloween night, that
when the moon shines bright, you know?
When the moon shines bright, we're all given the understanding that they just go over to, like, see the human world. Rather than, like, they go over there to murder. Yeah. That's really nice of them. I appreciate that. Thank you, residents of Halloween Town, for continuing to not murder us like you could.
Exhibiting self-control is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a huge thing. You should applaud yourself for that.
And when I'm mayor, I say you can murder anyone you want.
Forever Purge.
Forever Purge. Well, Halloween Purge. It's the only night you can come over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's the only limit.
Interesting.
Yes.
So yeah, at this point we've got the tooth, we got everything, we make the witch's brew, we pour it into the talisman of Merlin.
But Marnie, fucking dud that she is, doesn't know what to say.
She doesn't know the spell.
Yeah, she doesn't. And you know who does? Sophie.
Sophie?
Sophie. Sophie knows it because Sophie
is a better witch than Marnie.
Much better than Marnie.
She's so much better at witching than Marnie.
God, she's just effortlessly good at this. So good.
It's really, like, incredible.
It's really a bad look for Marnie.
It's just like, holy shit, like, my kid brother is Zion Williamson.
This movie can't decide how witchcraft works. Because in moments like this, it's like, oh, you need to know the exact incantation and the exact, like, movements. You need to have everything. And then when they're flying on that broomstick, her grandma's straight up like, you just need to wish something into existence and then make it happen.
Yeah, she was straight up like, positive visualization. Like, she's if like, you want something, take it.
It's gonna happen. It's like, so, which makes me think that, like, their powers are unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
If they want it, they get it.
They can bend reality.
And Calabar is a warlock.
He's a warlock, yes.
Yeah.
Can we just skip right to Calabar's reveal about why he did all of this?
This is what I wanted to get to. Okay. This is the most interesting thing in the movie.
Yeah. So anyway, they make the talisman work. It's fine. We get to the final confrontation.
They light the pumpkin.
And it's revealed that Calabar and their mom
used to date.
When she lived in Halloween Town.
Back in the day. Because they were the only two people who looked like normal mortals.
I don't know how her grades transferred over from Halloween Town to regular world, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, if you go to DeVry, from there you can go anywhere.
How'd she get a social security number? It's all a little unclear.
Well, they've got that at the DMV.
Okay. They got the Halloween Town transfer papers?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
The dead MV?
Fuck you. So they used to date the Department of Murdered Vehicles. And so he reveals that this was all because their mom married a human.
When did she meet him in the timeline of her and Calabar dating?
I guess they met on Halloween, remember?
Yeah. But like,
so she met their dad on a Halloween night when she was visiting, fell in love, and instantly decided that she was going to stay in the human world.
And was like, fuck you, Calabar, we gotta break up.
He was like, fuck you, Calabar, we gotta break up. Hey, mom, I'm not coming home.
Like,
wild
what?
Shit. Wild shit.
And ever since then, Calabar has been seeking revenge. He's like, I'm going to become the mayor.
I'm going to wipe out the human race because you dated a human instead of me.
And I'm going to become the mayor of Halloween Town.
Did he kill their dad? I think he killed their dad.
No.
He killed their dad.
No.
He killed their dad.
You said magic killed their dad, and we just expressed that the dad's not actually dead. He's fucking Debbie Reynolds.
I don't know. I think Calabar might have killed their dad.
Maybe. Do we think that...
That might be canon. I think the Calabar... So anyway, so his whole plan was to do this, but he didn't know she was coming back. Did he just know Marnie was turning 13 soon, and so inevitably she'd be in Halloween Town and the mom would follow?
Well, he knew that because Marnie is his kid.
Whoa!
Marnie is a Calabar.
That's not actually true. Ian's saying this. That's not true in the world of the movie.
That's the only way it makes sense. If Rey is a Palpatine, spoiler alert, then Marnie's a Calabar.
That's, you know what?
It's canon.
If this movie was made today, she would be a Calabar.
But that's how he would know. Mm-hmm. It's because she's like, it was a... Lauren, it was a Kirsten Cohen situation.
Oh,
it was
an, from the OC.
Yeah, it was like an I'm pregnant, and it was like, that forced me to realize, like, actually, I don't want a life with you. So she uses, you know, the guy as an excuse to just like, oh, now I'm here in my new world with my new guy, and I love it.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's life with them.
Yeah.
But Calabar's like, is that my daughter in there? Mm-hmm. It is.
Wow. So, Calabar loses.
Shocker.
Marnie's trying to drop the, like, talisman in there.
She's trying to light that pumpkin up.
She's passing out. She's like, legit leaning over the side, over the top of the pumpkin, arm, like, dangling inside.
All she's got to do.
All she's got to do is open her fist and let it fall.
And no.
And she can't. She passes out with her fist clenched around this.
Because Marnie is a dud.
Marnie! It's the easiest thing to do. It's arguably easier to let it go than it is to hold on to it at this point, girl.
And you're asleep. Let it go!
You're a dud, Marnie!
And then finally, Soapy is just kind of like, God, I have to fucking do everything myself.
And her brother gets electricity powers.
Yeah! Like, he becomes Jamie Foxx from The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
He straight up got electricity powers.
Yeah, he doesn't really do anything with them. Does he do anything in the sequels?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
I think he does, like, something in the sequels. He does, like, cooperative magic with them.
Yeah, but then...
He does a lot of, like, I'm gonna team in and, like, I'm gonna add my magic. Like, I'm basically gonna do, like, a, you know, like...
Here's my credit.
I'm gonna roll to assist.
Okay,
know?
That's
He's
it.
He's that guy.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, but then they win, and then finally in the end, they're like, Marnie's like, well, I guess I gotta go back home, and then the mom is like...
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you gotta come back.
You have to go to school.
But then she's like, well, I can, like, Debbie Reynolds is like, well, I wanna finish your training to be a full-on witch, and the mom's like, you can't finish her training, because I'm gonna finish her training.
Well, and the mom's like, you need to move in with us.
I was getting to that.
I'm just saying...
There are two big reveals in that scene. God damn it, Lauren.
When I'm mayor of Halloween Town, there'll be no dramatic reveals.
And so they're like, cool, I guess I gotta move back in with you in the mortal world. And I guess this is something Debbie Reynolds has been wanting, because every grandparent just wants to move back in with her daughter and grandkids.
I wanna leave my mansion.
She lives in a mansion. I guess it's like in the property value of like I don't need to sublet the Cromwell estate. Yeah.
Well, what's a year? You know, I think it makes sense for her to be like, I'll spend a year.
Yeah, I'll do it a year. Maybe that's all it is.
I think the situation probably ends up being like, I spend a year with you, I go spend a year back in Halloween Town, I spend a year with you back in Halloween Town.
Yeah.
At least during these, like, formative years.
I like that.
Although they do, like, find a way around that in the sequels.
Question, though.
The door gets opened more in a more prolonged way.
I figured as much.
Yeah, in the sequels. Have you ever seen the sequels?
I've never seen any of them.
Whoa!
So...
Game changer, Ian!
So, Halloween Town. Question, though. Because the portal in this is only open on Halloween. Mm-hmm. In the mortal world, we know exactly when Halloween is. Mm-hmm. How do they know when Halloween is in Halloween Town if every day is Halloween?
When the bus comes.
But they're driving the bus. How do they know when to get it out of storage?
It's a great question. I don't know what to tell you here.
You're telling me this bus only comes out of, like, retirement for one thing a year?
I think they're just surprised. They're like, oh shit, it's Halloween, dope.
That's awful. Negligible. All right, though.
I don't know what to tell you.
But do you have anything else you want to hit in this movie?
Not really. I feel like we touched all of it. Got our fingies all over all of it.
We really did. Harriet comes back, poop still dripping down her leg.
Harriet.
Anybody want these scones? Take a scone!
Oh, man.
That's Halloween Town, though.
Yeah.
1998, mm-hmm. Disney Channel.
Yeah.
So we talked about this before. There's really not a ton of other facts about this that we were talking about. You obviously cannot tell what the budget is for this movie.
No fucking $14 and a coupon to the Chili's.
$14 and a coupon to Chili's.
If I'm mayor, everyone gets a $20 gift card to Chili's.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're opening a Chili's in Halloween Town?
Yeah.
Are you bringing in big business to Halloween Town?
Just Chili's.
Lauren,
no, but
you've
made
promises
Ian,
in the past about Ian, not bringing in big business.
Ian, it's a franchise, but it will be locally owned.
I just don't see how that is aiding in the mom and pop atmosphere of Halloween Town that you've wanted to cultivate and that's been the rest of your platform.
Okay, I hear you. Restaurant that's not a chain, but it's named Chili's with an additional L.
Chili'sily?
No, it's like chill, C-H-I-L-L-I.
Chilil.
Chili's.
Chilisel.
Chili's.
It's Chilisel.
Chili's. No, it's Chili's.
What if you put it before with an apostrophe and it was Le Chili?
Le Chili's? You know what? Yeah. You know what? Now we have that in Halloween.
We do French, Southwest, Tex-Mex cuisine.
We just do Yeah, it's the exact Chili's menu, but now we have snails. We have escargot.
No, you call them snails.
Snails! In Halloween Town, we call them snails.
Yeah, it's like, these are Chipotle snails, try these.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to bring to Halloween Town.
Yeah.
Because, like, we can't really have the franchise owners be too involved because they can't come to Halloween Town most of the year.
Pico de Gargo.
Fuck escargot, you.
That's what it is. There Pico de Gargo.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a snail salsa.
Fuck yeah, baby.
God, why are we not on Chopped?
Wow.
Halloween Town, 1998.
Yes.
The other big thing I remember about this movie is because it was a holiday film, and we've been mm-hmm. watching a bunch of...
It is.
A bunch of Halloween-themed movies and horror films this month. I remember as a kid, it would air so infrequently because it would only air around the holidays that mm-hmm. it became so special because this movie was an event when it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we missed that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that. I just mm-hmm. love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's where, like, this had such a comfort rewatching it because it was just like, oh, yeah, I used to, like, every year watching this was such a big deal.
You're like, it's Halloween time. It's the best time of the year.
Yeah, and this is...
Halloween Town's on TV.
Yeah, it's like, you know, watch spooky movies. Halloween Town will be on TV some night.
Hocus
you know,
Pocus will be on Hocus Halloween
Pocus
Town.
Will be, yeah.
I can't
Do you speak. Think that...
I can't speak.
Do you think in Halloween Town they aired Hocus Pocus?
Yes.
What do you think the response was?
Meh.
Do you think... Halloween Town views Hocus Pocus the way that, like, Iran views Argo. Where they're like, this is an unfair portrait of witches.
I'm not qualified to speak on the behalf of my constituents on that one. I would have to speak to them.
Excellent point. You didn't fall into that trap.
I would love to have a town hall meeting so that they can tell me their thoughts on Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Lauren, before we go,
mm-hmm.
what would you say
mm-hmm.
if you could sum up your campaign
mm-hmm.
in one sentence.
Yes.
What would you say?
I would say three proms.
Excellent. Three proms.
This... Nicole Kidman, would you like to sum up your campaign?
No.
I win.
We have the results of the mayoral racing. The new mayor of Halloween Town is Lauren Grace Thompson.
Oh, thank you, Halloween Town.
She won in a landslide of 99.9% of the vote.
Oh, yes. I did it.
I'm really proud of you, and I really think you're going to turn this place around.
I'm proud of myself. So victory party's happening at La Chili's.
Oh, La Chili's.
La Chili's.
Pico de Gargo for everyone.
For everyone. Rounds for everyone on me.
Lauren, would you recommend Halloween Town?
Yeah, 2021? It's super fun. Fuck it, yeah. It's Halloween.
You paid really close attention to this movie.
It's October. It's the best month of the year. You watch it for a vibe.
This is true.
You watch it for a vibe. I'm sorry. I can't be objective about this movie. I'm like, yeah, no, it's probably not good. But, like, I had a great time.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. What do you want to say here? Like,
it's not good. It's like, I watched it today for the first time.
It's one of the better DCOMs. I think the Halloween-themed DCOMs are the best.
I think the themed DCOMs are the best.
Yes.
When they can focus something on like a month or something like that, or a holiday, like, then they feel, at the very least, a lot of it is like forgivable because it is like a holiday film. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, it already gives your movie a template and a set of themes. Mm-hmm. So I like that. And obviously you and I are both fans of like of horror movies and fans of Halloween themed stuff. So yeah, like, it's not a good movie, but like, it's a great movie.
We should watch Under Wraps.
Yes.
I remember Under Wraps being genuinely good.
Well, and it just got updated. People are going to be asking why we didn't do that one.
Ugh. There's still time.
There's
still time before Halloween.
This is true.
We could.
Do you have, like we always do at this time, is there a modern analog to Halloween Town?
Okay. Do you want me to go first? Okay. So, I think the first thing that pops into my mind, it's not a Halloween film. It is a very much a summary film. And it is about kind of like an opposite situation to Halloween Town. It's basically a movie that is more like if... I think I've already recommended this movie. I'm so sorry. I just realized I did. But I think it's about what if some of the residents of Halloween Town came to our world. And I want to recommend the film Luca. Which is a great Pixar film about two little Halloween Town residents.
So you're...
They're coming... into stop laughing at me.
So you're calling them Halloween Town residents.
I'm saying they're like, yeah, they're little fish boys.
You what? Just you're... got elected mayor. Do you really want to get canceled this quickly?
What? They are from Halloween Town. They're from the like adjacent Halloween Town underwater like segment. They are like sister towns.
Do you think that they would...
They want to be where the people are, Ian.
Oh, just like, I got the metaphor. I saw Luca.
Just like Marnie wants to be where the Monstars are. It's the opposite situation. Luca is Halloween Town reversed, even in time of the year. Like, you have this beautiful fall time, and then Luca's in like the summer.
Okay.
Okay. Do you hate Luca?
I love Luca.
Do you want to go on the record and say you hate Luca?
No, I've gone on record before. I love
Gay Luca. Icon Luca? You're not a fan?
No, I love Luca.
All right.
What's the name of his friend?
Alberto.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Definitely the name of Alberto's father.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
His dad that didn't accept him for being...
A fish monster.
Fish monster.
Even though he was already a fish monster, so why would he have abandoned him? Unless there was another thing that we were supposed to infer, but the movie's definitely not about how they're Halloween Town residents.
You couldn't see the air quotes, but they were there.
So you could hear them. Luca's great. I love that movie.
Love that movie.
I'm going to recommend, I don't know if I've recommended this one before, but it's another movie about Halloween stuff. It's another movie about Halloween stuff that... also features a generational story, and I'm going to recommend the 2018 Halloween.
It's a good movie.
I love that movie.
Super fun movie.
I really, really enjoy it. There's a sequel that just came out. It's available on Peacock.
So thematically similar to Halloween Town.
Incredibly. kind of, yeah. Everybody in a town turns evil and starts acting like fucking idiots. Yeah, I get it.
Field is kind of like Halloween Town.
It really is.
It is.
They should just, like, embrace that.
Yeah.
But
Michael Myers is like, I'm going home to Halloween Town. That's why he wants to go back home to his house. It's the portal to Halloween Town.
Or he just wants to like set up. He's like, no, I want to be the mayor of Halloween Town. And we're like, Michael's
coming for me.
Haddonfield is a real place. And he's like, no, it's Halloween Town, and I'm the mayor. And they go, no, you have the mind of a 6-year-old child. He's that makes sense. That's when I killed my sister. And they're like, this is for Halloween. If you've never seen Halloween 1978.
And he's like, are you going to vote for me? And you're like, no. And then he kills you.
And then he's like, I'm going to bring corn mazes back. And you go, ooh, maybe.
I did love the corn maze.
I was going to say, you know what rolls off the tongue? Mayor Michael Myers, baby.
Mayor Michael Myers.
But I love
Mr. Mayor Michael Myers.
I love the 2018 Halloween. I think it's an excellent sequel, an excellent kind of reboot of the franchise, and also talks to the generational storyline that this movie I think is talking to.
It does also have a grandma that is trying to connect with her granddaughter.
Yeah.
But the mother is like, "No, your grandma's crazy."
There were several moments in this movie where I was like, "This is the exact same dynamic." Of the Strode women.
Yeah, and then pretty much it plays out in a very similar way. Yeah. Honestly, it does.
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't stop thinking about it once it started. I was like, oh, it's 2018 Halloween.
You're right.
But that's it. Lauren, talk to us about The Vanishing Act.
Vanishing Act, which I'm sure you've heard about if we've listened to any of other episodes, is our scripted show, as you heard with our discussion about Augie versus Aggie as a name, as a valid name. Well, our lead character's name is Augie on that. His name's Augie Eckhart. It is a, yeah, that's all you need to know. The protagonist's
name.
He was
born
1998. No, just kidding. No. It's set in the 1930s.
Oh my God.
It is set in the 1930s.
He rode a broomstick through the space-time continuum.
I mean, there are wizards in our show. It's set in the 1930s. It is about a vanished magician and all the people that are trying to figure out how he did the vanishing. It is all 12 episodes of our first season are out right now for free wherever you listen to podcasts. So wherever you're listening to this podcast right now, we're really, really proud of it. We're gearing up for season 2 right now.
Boom.
And we would love it if you gave it a shot.
And then gave it 5 stars.
And then gave it 5 stars. That would be really helpful.
And wrote a review.
That would be really nice. We like positive affirmation. Like, you know, I always like to hear we're doing a good job. What about you, Ian?
I love hearing it.
I love that.
Also give us 5 stars on this podcast and write a review. If you do, we will read it out loud.
Yeah, we will.
Also feel free to listen to Eric's podcast, Living Force, on the Utini Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. If you want any extended universe Star Wars needs. That's all I got. Lauren, anything from you?
No.
Thank you very much for listening, folks. Happy Halloween Town. Yeah.